I'm gonna say something that'll shock you now. The reason you need to prepare in advance is because, here it is, even Christians will be tempted. Yeah, it's shocking, huh? Yes, even Christians will be tempted. Even Christians.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope. As you're traveling down the road of life, you're going to face temptations. We all do. In fact, even Jesus was tempted. So what do we do when we are facing choices that we know are wrong, but we're having a hard time saying no to? Well, today, Pastor Wayne will show us it has a lot to do with how well we have prepared in advance. Here he is with a message entitled, Decisions When Tempted.
Have you ever been tempted? I mean, really tempted. How many of you? Really badly tempted, yeah. You can be good in church. That's easy, you know, because you're supposed to be good in church. But when you get out and your kids start fighting in the back seat and you're going to take them to lunch, but they're just ungrateful, unappreciative, and they start fighting with each other, and you just want to stop the car. Stop. And your wife's saying, honey, do something about it. Honey, I'm driving. And then you start getting upset and everybody's upset in the car. And you're tempted to stop the car, kill them first, and then feed them lunch. Now, how many of you have ever felt that way? Be honest. How many of you? I never have. I'm above that. But sorry if you have, you know. No, yeah, all of us have. Every single one of us have go through that. But you know, it's not only in the setbacks that'll tempt you to throw it all in. It's when you're successful. Because you forget from whence you came and you get a little arrogant, get a little condescending. Hey, they should show me a little more respect than that. Do they know who I am? You know, and we get the cock-a-doodle-doo twitch. And we walk around, you know. Man, that happens to all of us. It reminds me of this rich Portuguese lawyer. He got so rich and successful, you know, he forgot where he came from. But one day he got into his limousine with his chauffeur and he said, take me through where I grew up. So he goes back to Palolo Valley and he's driving up 10th Avenue and he's going up around by the housing, Carlos Long. And he goes by this one house and these two other Portuguese guys are squatting in the front yard eating grass. There's hardly any grass left and they're eating grass. So he said, whoa, stop the car. He rolls down his window, his tinted window. Hey, Mano, Vincent, what are you guys doing eating grass? He said, we no more food, this is all we got left. He said, what? He said, come in the car. He felt compassion, come in the car. And Mano stands up and says, yeah, but I got one wife and two children too. That's all right, bring them. And Vincent says, oh, I got one wife and three children. They haven't eaten anything but grass either. Oh, bring them, the more the merrier. So they get them in the chauffeured car in the limo and they're driving, going, and Manuel stops and says, hey, I just want to say thank you for being so kind, for take us to your house. And the rich Portuguese lawyer says, that's all right, at my house, my grass is 2 feet tall. Sometimes you just think you're compassionate. You're not compassionate. You see, it's in setbacks that we can get tempted, and also at successful times. But every single one of us are going to get nailed with temptation. Every single one of us. So what do you do when you come to those times? See, you don't know when the tests come, but they will come. You don't even know what's going to be on the test, but they will come. You say, all right, what do we do? You see, the decisions that we make in life, there'll be many of them, but the toughest ones will be when you're tested, when you're tempted, and when you're under pressure. And God knew that. So He's made a way available for every single one of us to escape the temptation and come out stronger because of it. So before we go into that, and before I unpack some principles that we want to put away in the archives of our heart, before we do that, let's take a look at the top of our notes, and let's read that verse at the top of our notes, and let's read it at the top of our lungs. Here we go. Ready? Go. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Let me give you three principles, because God says, I'll give you what you need so that you'll not be tempted more than you're able, and you'll be able to bear it, and you'll come through better and not bitter, and you'll come through wiser and not more foolish. You'll come through stronger and not weaker, and I'll provide this for you. So here's some principles to pack away in your life before the temptations hit, because you don't know when they're going to come, and you don't know the subject matter of those temptations, but you know they will arrive. So how do you prepare to make good, wise decisions in the midst of temptations? Here's the first one. The line is all the way across your notes, because I need you to write it in bold, highlight it, and make it bigger than normal. Here it is. The first is, and this is the most important in this whole message today, write down, prepare for tests in advance. Write down, prepare in advance for tests, and I am redundant, beforehand. So, it's not good English nor good grammar, but I want it to be redundant. You prepare in advance for tests when? Beforehand. Yeah, you got to think about it this way. When do you think athletes prepare for the race? After the gun goes off, bang. Okay, let's get our shorts on. Wear our shorts. No. When do you think a student prepares for the test or the exam? After the exam begins and he's preparing. No, you know what that's called? Cheating. Yeah, no, you don't start after. When do you think a musician prepares for his concert? When the lights come on, the audience is waiting? No, you do it in advance. When? Beforehand. That's well known. But you know what? It's funny, when it comes to more eternal things than just a race or just a performance or a math exam, we as people who are alive and living often wait till our marriage crashes before we start studying about what makes a good marriage. We wait for our family to crash and then we say, well, what makes a good family? We wait for us to be bankrupt before we think, well, what, we need some financial stewardship lessons. We do that in life, and God is saying, no. When the temptations are coming and you know they're going to come, you prepare when? In advance. In fact, he even gives us a scripture that compares us to athletes, and he says this, athletes will prepare for, well in advance, for little things that perish. But you're preparing for life that's eternal, families and relationships that last a lifetime that are so critical and so important, and you don't prepare for them after it's crashed. And athletes, like we prepared for the Molokai Hoi, the 41-mile race across the ocean, we'll prepare almost all year for this. And a couple of years ago, we got a third-place medal. It's this thing like this big. And we get it, and I think, I practiced 10 months for this thing. And we paid big bucks to get over there and paddle back. And we get this, you throw it in a sock and put it in your drawer. I got all these little medals back there just sitting there. And I think, what? You know, what's amazing is athletes will practice like 10 months to study and prepare for a race. And we in life never prepare at all until we crash and burn. So God compares us to athletes. And let's read this next one. 1 Corinthians 9, go. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Yeah. The athletes do it to receive something that's perishable, a little trophy, a little plastic thing. But we do it for an imperishable crown, that which is of life itself. And so God is saying that each of us are going to go through a furnace of affliction where you'll be tempted. And that's what the Bible calls an opportune moment. When you're in the bottom of a valley, you're susceptible to temptation. You're ready to cash it in. You just need help from wherever. I don't care. And you're looking for something. And the enemy in Luke chapter 4, when he's talking about Jesus being at the valley of despair in the desert, after having fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, well, the devil says this is an opportune time. But it's not only an opportune time for the enemy because we're susceptible, it's also an opportune time for God, because that's when our heart and our spirit is the most receptive. So an opportune moment is not necessarily bad. It just depends who you're going to give your receptivity, your susceptibility to, the devil or to God. It's still your choice. In the valley of despair, an opportune moment comes that you choose whether it will destroy you or it will benefit you by who you give your heart to, your receptivity to, your reaching out to, your appeal to, the enemy or to God. If it's to the enemy and you're a neutral, it'll be an opportune moment for him. But if you open to God, it will be a time that you will grow the most in those valleys. Now, we call these a furnace of affliction. But I want you to know something, that God really is concerned about the decisions I make. To who will I give my receptivity, to the devil or to God, in that moment of being susceptible, very, very supple, very fashionable. It's an opportune moment. To whom? You decide. The enemy or God. It's our choice. God is very concerned with those choices in the furnace of affliction, because we're going to read a scripture, and it's one of my favorites, out of Isaiah 48 and verse 10. Would you look at that in your notes and let's read it together. Go. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. It says, I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. Circle the word tested, because that's a Hebrew word, bakar. And that word bakar, I have tested, isn't just the word tested you. No, what it really means is, I have chosen you out of the furnace of affliction. I selected you, almost like I hired you. What? Yeah. You see, in our society, in order to get hired or selected or chosen for a job or a position, they select you from your resume. And your resume tells them all the mountaintop experiences that you've had, all the good things that you have done, and you're hired from your resume. But in the kingdom of God, you are not hired from your resume. You are actually chosen out of the furnace of affliction. In other words, what Isaiah is saying is, God looks at the furnaces of affliction and he says, who's doing well? Who's making the best choices in the furnace? Ooh, he's making good choices. I'll choose him. Oh, what? There's one. I'll hire her. I'll select him. I'll select her. From where? In the furnace of affliction. You see, where your graduation is in the kingdom is not in a nice auditorium with pomp and circumstance and all people dressed in robes and everybody having lays. That's the graduation like that is found maybe from high schools or colleges. But in the kingdom of God, your graduation arena is a furnace. And when you and I are making good decisions in the midst of the furnace, God says, that one's graduated. Here you go. Oh, this one passed. Good. Oh, here's another one. This one's graduated. See, my graduation ceremonies is amongst the flames. And when I can make wise decisions in the midst of the furnace of affliction, God chose us, bakard us from the furnace of affliction. So God is very concerned about the decisions we make in the furnace times, because that's what will make or break a marriage. When you're at each other, the words that you say and the decisions you make, that'll make or break your marriage. That'll heal or destroy a family. That'll make or break you in your employment. That'll be the success or the failure of an entrepreneur when he's ready to bail out, when he should have waited just another week. Those kinds of things, those decisions are very crucial, and God's very concerned about them. So where do you prepare to make those kinds of decisions? Way in advance, way beforehand. Well, how do you do that? Well, would you write down one of my favorite ways of all is this. Oh, before I tell you that, let me just say this to you. The reason it's so important for you to prepare well in advance, I'm going to say something that'll shock you now. The reason you need to prepare in advance is because, here it is, even Christians will be tempted. Yeah, it's shocking, huh? Yes. Even Christians will be tempted. Even Christians. You're kidding. Mm-hmm. In the Old Testament, the woman of folly is actually describing a woman with loose morals. Now watch this. Let's read this together. Go. The woman of folly is boisterous, calling to those who pass by. Here it is. Who are making their paths. Huh? Yeah, would you underline that? You know who the woman of folly is going to go after? Those that are making their paths crooked? No, those are making their paths what? You know what? The enemy is going to look at you. You are in his crosshairs. He wants to come after you who are making their paths straight. You say, well, why does the devil go after those that are making their paths crooked? Because he already got them. You're the threat to his dark kingdom. You're the ones that are going to put a kibosh on his plans and actually turn those people going south back homeward to the Lord. You. So guess what he's going to do? He's going to come after us. And remember this, Jesus defeated the devil at the cross. And that has made him burning mad. But like a rich, affluent person, if someone hates him, they can't get at that rich, affluent person. So the most insidious way to hurt them is to go after their children. They ransack them, they ransom them, they kidnap them, or maybe even murder them. And that's a way to get back at that person. Well, remember, the devil was defeated at Calvary and he can't get back at Jesus. So he's going to go after God's children. So God gives us the strength to be able to withstand his wiles and his deceptive moves. We say, well, how then do I prepare in advance? Here's my favorite way. Would you write now in that second bullet? Choose to do daily devotions. Choose. What? Choose. Because you got to choose. You're going to have all kinds of other distractions, but you've got to pack away God's word in your heart. Because here's how you prepare beforehand. You've got to, through reading the Bible, set up parameters for the words that you'll say. When you're under pressure and you want to stink words will come out, you want to set parameters in advance, because if you don't, when the pressure comes, it'll be smelly. Because you're upset and anger always has an odor to it. And so you've got to pack God's word away in advance so that there's parameters and guardrails. And when the flesh wants to go over the edge, the guardrails of God's principles don't allow it. And you say, no, I'm not going to do that. You got to do that in advance. And that's what God's word is all about. As you read daily, you're packing away principles and truth and virtue. And you're setting up guardrails and parameters of your life. And he does that so that when you come into the time of temptation, a test, a challenge, you have these already set because you're basically on auto control at that point. But God's word and the parameters that you've set up and the values and the ethics and the morality all hold you. And when you finally pop out, come up for breath after this time of horrendous temptation, when you come up for air, you think, whew, I am so glad I had parameters that were stronger than me. You understand? They got to be stronger than you. And God's word gives you that ability. But you've got to choose it. Do you remember the story of Mary and Martha when Martha was distracted by so many things? And Mary, moreover, was at the Lord's feet listening to his word. Martha was upset. And Martha said to Jesus, you tell my slothful sister to help me. And the Lord said, Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things. And then let's read as we continue to hear what the Lord was saying. Go. Only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Would you circle the word chosen? Mary has chosen the good part. You got to choose it. Someone once said to me, Wayne, the word will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from the word. You choose. Because you've got to prepare in advance. And each time I'm opening God's word, I am hearing God's voice. I'm recognizing his voice. Now, in the book of John, chapter 10, it says, the sheep know his voice. Now, a voice of a stranger says they will not follow a stranger because they know not the voice of a stranger. I thought, wait a minute. If I don't follow a stranger's voice, I should know his voice. Mm-mm. No, you know what the Bible says? It says you get to know the shepherd's voice and the sheep know his voice. And a stranger, they will not follow because they don't know his voice. I've got to know God's voice so much. You know why? Because a lot of times the enemy's voice will be like a counterfeit voice to God's. His voice will even sound religious at times. The devil will sound very religious. He knows how to do that. He mimics religiosity. And you'll think, well, God is leading me to... And when people say that, I listen and I think, man, that's not God's voice. Sounds really religious, but it ain't. You see, you've got to know the shepherd's voice so much that you can detect counterfeit voices, because he'll get real close to what God sounds like. He knows. Remember, the devil is defeated, but he's not stupid. He is crafty. He knows how to mimic. Long time ago, when they used to train bankers to detect counterfeit $100 bills or $50 bills, they would put these tellers in a room and they would show them all of the real genuine $100 bills, let's say. Before, now we have these little pens, you know, they put, I've never had that done, I don't have those bills, but many of you, you know, they'll mark your bill and they'll say, oh, that's good, or oh, that's counterfeit, whatever it might be. Well, before those pens came out, they would put you in a room with all the real stuff, and you could smell it, you could taste it, you could check the fiber on it, you can look at the ink. They'll have classes and seminars to show you what the real stuff is, the patterns of it, the almost indistinguishable, almost imperceptible patterns that you can see and you can detect right away. All the real stuff. You'll study it, you look at the fiber, the fabric, everything. Then, to detect counterfeit, they put you in front of a conveyor belt and they'll just throw all of these $100 bills on it, genuine stuff. And then the supervisor, without you seeing her, she'll throw in a counterfeit here and a counterfeit there and a counterfeit here. And they'll all go in front of the tellers. And the tellers will be looking at it and they'll grab this and say, I don't know what's wrong with that, but that's not right. Something's not right with this one. Something's not right with this one. Nope, this looks funny. Now, how do they know that these are counterfeit? Because they studied the counterfeits? No, because they studied the real thing. And when you and I are going to make wise decisions in the midst of temptation, when the voices that are coming are so close to God's, but they're counterfeit, how do you tell the difference? You know His voice so well. Even the most imperceptible, indistinguishable points about His character, you know. So that when a voice comes, you say, that's not God's voice. Sounds really close, but that ain't. How do you know? Did you study that? No, I just know His voice, the shepherd's voice. And that's why daily devotions is so critical, so that you might be able to recognize the voice of a counterfeit. Well, you know, another decision that will come right on the heels of that, not only do you choose to do daily devotions, and by the way, if you haven't begun that, start it now. Pick up a journal, get a Bible bookmark, and I just challenge you, start with me today, tomorrow, and let's read through the Word together and journal together. It will be one of the best habits you will have ever have developed in your life, guaranteed. But not only choose to do daily devotions, would you write in number two? We, if we're going to make wise decisions in the midst of temptations, you must choose to be godly. Choose to be godly. You see, the tilt of my heart has to be towards God, even if I stumble and fumble and fall. It's the whole set of my life. I am not going to go any other way. There is no other option. Yeah, but what about this? It's not an option for me. Well, wouldn't you quit and do this? It's not an option. I am choosing to set my sight and I'm locking in on Christ. That's it. I'm done. I'm just going that way. And once you choose to be godly, there's promises that'll apply to you that won't apply to anybody else. Let's read this next one and you'll see. Go. The Lord knows how to rescue the... Yeah, circle the word godly from temptation. You see, if you don't want to be godly, then there is no search and rescue possible for you. When you get nailed and you're in the middle of temptation, if you want to sin, what can God do? You're going to find a way around Him anyway. But if I choose to be godly, He will be there and He'll rescue you from temptation. But I have to choose to be godly. If I want to sin, I'm going to find a way. So I just choose to be godly. There's times I mess up and I stop and I say, that's not what I want to do, Lord. My heart is to serve You. My heart and desire is to be a servant of God. And another thought will come through my mind, and you consider it for a little while, and then I just stop. Nope, I want to serve God. That's what I've chosen to do. I've set my sights, I've set my sails, I've set my compass, and I'm gonna serve God. And you'd be surprised how the pull of that temptation just dwindles and dies when you let the enemy know, I'm going this way, goodbye.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Decisions When Tempted by Pastor Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.